Can I ask you a question? Do you like to be rejected? How do you handle rejection? Shotgun. Scattershot. I like that. When you are rejected, do you automatically, very quickly ask, what did I do? Was it me? What did I say? Was it some action? What? If you had been rejected like the Apostle Paul, could you have handled it? Would you yourself have gone AWOL after all of that rejection? Just because somebody rejects you doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It could be there's something wrong with them. Rejection. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have given us that is truly a tremendous blessing. Your will is going to be carried out. You are going to be glorified. Thanksgiving is going to be offered up unto you. And the privilege of opening your word will take place. Thank you for these people that are here. They're your people. Thank you that we can assemble together as a body of the living Christ. And thank you for allowing us to have the word of the living God. God speaking. What more could we want? Giving us the answers needed to all we will face in this world. Allowing us to conquer and be bold when needed. Thank you for the courage that you give us at the right moment. To face the hardships and the difficulties and the circumstances of life, and especially things you allow to come into our lives as your children. We must understand that everything allowed in our lives as the children of the Lord Jesus Christ, God uses as tools to refine us and purify us, even rejection. Father, I pray, as times get tougher, we're going to be faced with more rejection. Teach us, I pray, how to endure and persevere during that time of rejection, that we'll not break and run, we'll not defect or desert from the body of Christ. I pray for the United States of America, and I pray for her. We need your strength. We need Christian people to rise up and to face what is taking place by the Word of God and by prayer, that the power of God may go to work and do what only He can do. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for walking us through everything. We thank you for loving us through everything. Not letting go of our hand. We may let go of yours, but you don't let go of ours. Thank you for always being there, even though it seems like you're not at times. But you are. We're that precious to you as your children. Now give us understanding of what we're about to read here in a moment, that it may help us in our spiritual lives, help us in our witnessing, help us with our courage to face what is coming, and it won't be easy. But help us to stand our ground in Jesus Christ as He did, as He does now and will in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's begin with the printout. Notice the title and the subtitle, Overcoming the Spirit of Fear. Underline that word spirit, if you will. The word spirit here does not refer to the Holy Spirit, but it refers to a mindset. A mindset. Overcoming the mindset or the attitude of fear. You see, the Holy Spirit is not going to give you a spirit of fear. This comes from Satan himself. This comes from the Christian who is doubting the Word of the living God. This comes from the Christian who is not living in the will as he or she should be, because if you were, you would not have doubt at all. Is that correct? Thank you. Overcome the spirit, the mindset or attitude of fear. And it goes like this. Fought it, finished it, kept it. Another subtitle, Strong Warriors Stand Strong. Well, let's begin with the introduction. Paul could have written the book on rejection. He had an entire region of believers. Now get this. He had an entire region of believers throughout the province of Asia turn away from him. That is a lot of rejection. If I had had that happen to me, and I walked in my house, Janae would have looked at me and said, Terry, what did you do to bring about all of this rejection? And the answer Paul would give is, I didn't do a thing. I continued preaching Jesus Christ. I continued witnessing for the Lord. I continued sharing the Word of the living God. I want you to know I didn't change. They did. They got scared. It was going to cost them their life if they continued in Christianity. So I want you to know, honey, it wasn't me. I didn't budge an inch. I stood my ground. I stayed in my lane that God called me to be in, that God gave me. I stayed with the assignment that the Lord Jesus Christ gave me. I didn't budge. I stayed in my lane. But there were a lot of Christians that did not stay in their lane, and they went AWOL. Let's look back at the introduction. Paul could have written the book on rejection. He had an entire region of believers throughout the province of Asia turn away from him. Now, Paul understood rejection. He had been forsaken by some of his closest friends. Don't you know that hurt? And it hurt deeply. And even more by all the churches in Asia. Go back and underline that word all, if you will. That's powerful. The province of Asia is where the apostle had accomplished some of his most significant work for the Lord Jesus Christ. This must have been especially difficult rejection for Paul to bear. Like it or not, some people do go AWOL in the midst of spiritual warfare. Paul must have been shocked to discover that many of his own friends had become guilty of such desertion. Well, let's look at this subtitle. Strong warriors or strong Christians stand strong. Number one, despite the great difficulties Paul faced, and these difficulties were nothing but a tool that God was using in the life of the Apostle Paul to get Paul where God wanted him to be and further mature in Christ likeness. So despite the great difficulties, and let me add that God allowed in the life of the Apostle Paul faced, he still maintained a victorious attitude. So in that blank, write the word victorious. Despite the great difficulties Paul faced and God allowed him to face them, he still maintained a victorious attitude. Now, the word attitude, you might want to underline it. It means a state of mind. In the midst of difficulties, and let this sink in, because every believer, either you're not going through some difficulties at this moment, or you are going to go through some difficulties in the days that are coming. And so in these difficulties, remember, God has allowed them to come into your life, number one. And number two, God is using these difficulties, these hardships, these trials as a tool in your life to tweak you and further mature you in Christ's likeness so you can be used in further ministry that has been designed for you to function in as a child of the living God. Does that make sense, Joey? Good, don't ask me to repeat it because I don't think I can. Okay. So you have an attitude, a victorious attitude in the midst of all these things. It is a state of mind. Now, in your memory, you'll jot down Romans chapter 12. For there is to be a renewing of the mind. And that's what he's talking about right here. Number two, did Paul allow these rejections to drag him down? The answer is no. You know what? Did it make him sad? I believe it did. All that rejection, were they rejecting Paul? Paul said, you know, I can handle this, but you're rejecting my Lord Jesus Christ. You're rejecting his teachings. You're rejecting being a disciple and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul says, that really hurts my heart. I thought you could really stand your ground when tested or a time of hardship or difficulty or trial came your way. All right? Again, number two, did Paul allow these rejections to drag him down? No, he did not. He stayed in his lane. Don't let anybody take you out of your lane that God has put you in. Don't let any difficulties or hardships or trials take you out of your lane. Stay in the lane that God has put you in. Number three, did he get angry and resentful at anyone? Did he hold a grudge? He did not. Well, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And I hope you have something to write with. This is a beautiful verse. The Apostle Paul is facing death down the road. It is imminent. He knows it is going to happen. And he can't get out from under it. And you know what? He doesn't want to get out from under it. He is excited. He knows his departure from this world is coming. He's going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is ecstatic about that. All right, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Here's what he says, "For I am already," underline the word already, and this is what the word means in the Greek language. The word already means what will happen in the future is already affecting the present. What will happen in the future is already affecting the present. Knowing you're going to die probably sometime in the future, is it already affecting the present? Knowing that one day you're going to stand before Jesus Christ as judge, is that affecting what's taking place in the present in your life? Knowing one day that you're going to step into eternity, you're either going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ or you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's future, but is it affecting your life at the present, at this very moment? For I am already, in other words, what will happen in the future is already affecting the present. For I am already being poured out. Underline the two words, poured and out. And here's what they mean. And listen to this. My blood is being poured out in a violent death for the cause of Christ. My blood, he says, is being poured out in a violent death for the cause of Christ. Did he shrink back from his ministry? Did he shrink back from following the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer was no. So what do you see here that you probably wouldn't see in the lives of many Christians in the United States of America? Paul, again, is excited. He is ecstatic. He's not worried about death. He knows that death is going to be a sweet release into the very presence of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Terry, I'm not there yet. Probably all of us are not there yet, but that is something we must work towards, is having that attitude that the Apostle Paul had. And that's what enabled him to face every difficulty, every hardship, and every trial in his life. That's what kept him going forward. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time, underline the word time. The word time means the right moment. The right moment. But there's something else that is connected to the right moment. God gives time. So what is time? Time is a grace gift in the hands of Almighty God. So God is in control of the time of your life. And when that time has run out, He's going to call you home. The right moment. God gives time so people can live in a physical world to prepare for eternity. It's like you and I are on probation. And God's watching every move and every thought that we have. You see, we're going to have to give an account of what we said and how we live. All right? For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure, underline that word departure. The word departure means my relocation, my new destination beyond the grave. The Apostle Paul had already been in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know what? He's going to go back again, isn't he? My friends, listen, he knows where he's going. He does not fear death. He knows that death is not the end. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time, the right moment of my departure, my relocation, my due destination beyond the grave or from this world is at hand. And I will soon go free. I have fought. Underline the word fought. The word fought means this. I have engaged in very intense warfare. I'm going to repeat that. I have engaged in very intense warfare. Listen to what else he says. I have struggled. Will Christians struggle? The answer is absolutely yes. If you're not struggling now, you're going to struggle sometime in the future. Now, let me read on. To struggle is a regular and necessary part of the Christian life. I'll repeat. To struggle is a regular and necessary part of the Christian life. I want you to take your Bible and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. You should be very, very familiar with these scriptures. They give you an opening of understanding. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials. 3. Be assured that the testing, not tempting, but testing, and notice that word's very important. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity, that is progressive sanctification, and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result, and do a thorough work, so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, your divine persuasion, lacking in nothing. Now, a lot of you have the same Bible I do, right here. If you do, the Amplified Study Bible, look at the bottom of the page and look at verse 2. You'll notice the word trials in heavy print. It's worth me reading to you. These are outward circumstances, conflicts, sufferings, and troubles encountered by all believers. Trials are not pleasant and may be extremely grievous, But believers are to consider them as opportunities for rejoicing. Are you there yet? Let me tell you something. You're going to have to really get in the Word of God to get to where we're reading right here. A shallow Christian is going to run from this. A shallow Christian does not understand why God allows things to happen in your life. Here's what they ask. Well, what did I do? What am I guilty of? Do you not like me anymore? No, what the Bible says is, if you are a genuine child of God, if your faith is real, then God is going to test that faith. And my friends, if you receive the testings that God brings into your life, it is going to grow you. We have a big word for that, progressive sanctification. In other words, you're going to progress and grow in Christ-likeness. And the more you grow in Christ-likeness, the more you are a student of the Word of the living God, the more God can do with you as you allow Him to work in you and through you. All right, let's go back to the printout. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure from this world is at hand, and I will soon go free." When I looked at my dad before he died, sitting in his chair, in his fingers, he couldn't even hold a knife or fork, and his knuckles were probably that big around for arthritis. He couldn't even walk. And I would look at him and say, "I am not sorry that one day you'll die." And we talked about this a few times, in fact, many times. He said, "Terry, I am so ready to go. I'm tired of this body. I'm tired of arthritis. I'm tired of not being able to eat like I used to. I can't cut meat. I can't operate. I can't function with a knife or a fork or a spoon. I can't hardly hold a cup to drink." He said, "Terry, my dignity is gone. I have nothing left. I am ready. Lord Jesus, please take me." And I will tell you this. I did his funeral, as you well know. But I didn't do it with tears. I did it with a smile on the inside of me, because I was so glad I knew where he was at that moment, and his suffering was over, never to experience that kind of suffering again throughout all of eternity. I knew that a resurrected, glorified body was going to be coming at the right moment. Do you see what we're saying here? If you are a student of the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to renew your mind, to change your worldly thinking into godly thinking, then when death is imminent and death is coming, and brother, it's going to come unless the rapture comes first, then therefore I could say at my dad's side, even looking at him in the casket in the viewing, looking at him at the funeral home, and out there at the graveside, I have yet to shed a tear for my dad. And now I know why. People have asked me, said, "Terry, was it hard?" And I said, "You know, honestly, I watched him go through so much, it wasn't hard at all. It was an exciting time of glory and thanksgiving and say, 'Go, Dad, go.' It's all over up here, the body. It's all said and done. God bless you. Enjoy where you are." Amen. Back to the printout. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure from this world is at hand, and I will soon go free. I have fought. I have engaged in very intense warfare. I have struggled, and I know that this warfare is necessary. I know that struggling is necessary. Jesus told me that it was. But it is Jesus Christ who works in me and through me and enables me to endure it all for the sake of Christ so I can stay in my lane. He says, I have fought the good. Underline the word good. It is a good that inspired and motivated. Is your life inspiring? Is your life motivating? He said, mine is. I have fought the good and worthy and noble fight. I have finished the race. The word race means the course of life set before me. The course of life set before me. I'll just do it this way. Here's my lane. It's not over here. It's not over there. It's not in your lane. It's not in your lane. I have a lane to run, to walk in, to minister in. I have an assignment of God given to me that I must fulfill as I stay in my lane. And Paul says you guys can go AWOL to the left and AWOL to the right. Just desert me. Go away. Run from Christ, but I, Paul the Apostle, will stay in my lane. And I pray that staying in my lane will inspire and motivate others. I have fought the good and worthy and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept. The word kept means I have guarded, I have preserved the faith, the Christian faith, the Christian truth, firmly guarding the gospel against error. So Paul was facing death, yet he was victorious. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Look at the word fight. Agonizo, agonizo. From this word, fight, we get our word agony. So Paul, by using this word, is telling us that some of his ministry had been pure agony. Let me just add another word, pure hell. That you'll get that in these texts. Pure agony. You understand? But what did Paul do? I'm leaving. No. He stayed. He stuck. He had stickability. And my friends, you've got to have it here. You've got to have it in your home. You've got to have it everywhere you go as a Christian in this world. So Paul, by using this word, is telling us that some of his ministry had been pure agony, an unbelievably difficult contest. But Paul doesn't budge an inch. He stayed in the fight and remained faithful to his call. What call? The Christian call. Who gave him the call? God did. What is the call? It's a godly assignment from the living God. People say, Terry, do you work for a living? No. They look at me and say, you don't work? Here's the next question. How old are you? 67. Going on 68 in January. You don't work? No, I said, I ain't worked a long time. I have a calling.
Amen.
A calling is not work. You can walk away from work and go somewhere else and work. But God help you if you walk away from His calling. A calling is for life. Work is for the moment at hand. You got it? Go back to the printout. The Greek sentence structure is actually reversed here. It actually says, a good fight, I fought one. Paul had no regrets. Regardless of all the others who dropped out of the fight, Paul could say, I stayed in there, a good fight, fought it. Here's what it says at the bottom. I have finished my course. Would you take your pen and underline or circle the word my? Now listen to what you don't see. I have finished your course. Yours not here. I have finished the course, God, you set before me. Page 2. The word course, dromos, a foot race or a running track. And notice how Paul personalized this by saying once again, what? My. Why don't you just circle my and write your name above there? Make it personal because it is. I can't write my name for you. I'll help you. I'll encourage you. I'll pray for you. But there's no room for me in your lane. Point one, Paul didn't attempt to run anyone else's course. He stayed on track, true to God's call on his life. Although many others had fallen out of their race and canceled their fight, Paul could victoriously state, not me, I didn't fall out, I finished my assignment. The Greek says, my race, I finished it. You've got to say that. I finished the race God set before me. My course. Not your course. My course. That's specific. I'm not here to copy you. You're not here to copy me. You're here to let God do His work in and through you in the lane He has put you. Paul says, I have kept the faith. The word kept is tereo. This word means remaining true to a commitment. Spiritually speaking, Paul was far ahead of the rest of the gang who were not keeping the faith. They were actually letting go of their faith in order to do what? Save their skin. Hello, Jesus. Thank you for not discarding the cross. Thank you for not heaving that as heavy as it was off your shoulder and say, you know what? I'm out of here. This is as far as I go in the lane. I'm not going to finish the race. What did he do? He did carry the cross. He did allow the thorns to be placed on his head, pressed down hard. He did allow his flesh to be ripped to the bone time and time and time again. I like when they put that focus on the film and his hands were just when those bones and those straps and glass and whatever they could tangle in there at the end of that leather. A lot of people thought they'd just swing it like this. No, no, no. They wrapped it around him like this, and as soon as it wrapped around him, they pulled it back. But you saw him. He's tied down. He could have got away. You saw his hands. Can you imagine the pain it took for God to do his hands the way he did them to express the pain? And then some Christians have the audacity to say, I'm out of here. I'm not finishing the race. Lord, don't tell me it's not worth it. I nearly punched you out. It's well worth it. God went to the cross and paid your sin debt in full. Amen. He went all the way. May you do the same. The soldier of the Lord had everything to shout about. Here's a little note under kept. When you are faithfully doing God's will according to God's plan, you are invincible. Let me clarify it for you. You get in doing God's work according to God's will, And you can spit in the face of the coronavirus. Strong statement? I don't think so. If God is doing His work in you and through you, child of God, then you think the coronavirus is going to rip it up? That's how strong your God is, especially in the child of God that is doing God's work according to God's will. You'll go when He's done. Question. Was Paul's ministry difficult? Yes. One that was lived out in the combat zone. But he didn't relinquish an inch to the enemy. As Paul faced his own death, he knew he had done well. He said, "A good fight, I really fought myself one." That's Greek. Point two, and I want you to listen to this, let it sink in as we close. Instead of fearing death, Paul was excited to depart and meet the Lord. Now, hadn't Paul already been into the presence of the Lord? Now, you've got to get this. He's already been there once in God's presence, right? Paul said, "I know what this trip's like, and I can't wait to get back on that ship and go into God's presence again." If you and I could do what Paul did, go there once, when it was time to go again, brother, you'd be so excited, you'd be sending out invitations. We're going to have a party. We may even dance, apostolic dance. Do you see? You say, "Terry, but that won't happen to me." When you learn to get into this word, you're going to take a trip into the presence of God like you never had before. And when it's time to go, you'll be like Him. Listen closely. Instead of fearing death, Paul was excited to depart and meet the Lord. Paul knew his day of departure was imminent, about to occur. The time of his departure was at hand. He could have been thinking about how they were going to kill him. He might have wondered what the blade would feel like if it hit the back of his neck. Would he feel it? Would it hurt? But instead of giving place to those fearful thoughts, as so many are doing today, Paul talked about departing, not about dying. He was ready to go. He was proud of the fight he had fought, the race he had run, and the faith he had kept. Paul had absolutely no regrets. Most gracious Heavenly Father, may we too be like Him. More excited about the departure and the going than what might take us there. My God is in control of everything. And I think, Lord, if you people would just get busy doing your work, getting the Word of God, the spirit of fear will resolve away. Won't even be there. Because you have so much faith and trust and confidence in the living God, you're going to say, "You know what? I'll go when God calls me home. Because I'm in my lane and I'm running that race. And I'm fulfilling that assignment, that divine assignment that He has given me. And I look forward to going into His presence and thanking Him for the cross of Calvary and the resurrection of Jesus and my sins paid in full. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen."